You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. I already have my Week 5 picks against the spread up there, my power rankings coming out of Week 4, as well as my Start Sit'em column. You can check that out on Tuesday afternoons here, so it'll come out later today. It is a pickup Tuesday. That means we focus on waiver wire advice for you. So we're going to go through all the positions for you. We're going to start at running back this week, where the notable things are happening there as we look for injury replacements for Javonte Williams, Jonathan Taylor, Cordarrelle Patterson, maybe somebody in that Washington backfield that we can look forward to some upside there. And then we'll get into the wide receivers and tight ends. One notable wide receiver that everybody should have rostered in every league at some point. So it's time to go after that player. Then we'll talk about the quarterbacks and streaming defenses as well. So we'll get to it all here for you on this edition of Locked On Fantasy Football. Before I do that, thanks again for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen today. We are free and available to you on all platforms. All right, let's dive right in to the running backs. Now, we're going to start with the one situation where this guy is still not owned in a lot of leagues, so you can go get him. You should go get him because he's the lead of this backfield. I know Chase Edmonds is getting the touchdown opportunities there in the red zone, but the lead back for the Dolphins is Raheem Mostert. He's looked pretty good here, healthy, a lot of speed, obviously fits the offense well with Mike McDaniel. They might lean on him a little bit more here with their passing game down to Tagovailoa. They get the Jets this week, so it's a good matchup maybe to stick with the running game and take pressure off Bridgewater. So Mostert's going to have a big game at some point. He's getting the key carries. We thought this Dolphins team would be a little run heavier, and I think that may play out a little bit here now that Bridgewater's in there. Really, I think they need to run a little bit to protect their defense. So Raheem Mostert should be managed in every size league at this point. Another guy that I'm going to target, Melvin Gordon, is probably on a roster, or if you got Javonte Williams, you might have Melvin Gordon, but you're probably worried about Gordon because he's got a neck injury. He had the fumbling issues there last week. The Raiders did a scoop and score against him, and they were turning to Javonte Williams, and Williams got hurt. Then they went immediately to a lot of Mike Boone. You might remember him. Before Alexander Mattison was there, he had a key role on the Vikings there as a backup. So he's now a key Broncos backup here. They also signed Latavius Murray. Probably not great sign here for Melvin Gordon. So in deeper leagues, you can take a speculation. Latavius Murray, go figure. He filled in there for Alvin Kamara in London for the Saints and look better than Mark Ingram. Then all of a sudden he's on a new team again. So Latavius Murray is just a guy that's going to always have jobs because he can fit a lot of running systems and he is pretty productive when he's out there. So be careful about investing too much in any Broncos running back. I think you'll see a little bit of Melvin Gordon, but we know when Williams was healthy, they were still using Gordon quite a bit. So they're going to split it up even more probably with Gordon, Boone, once Murray gets up to speed a little bit here. He can plug and play him in this offense pretty easily. So keep that in mind. But Boone is the guy that got the key snaps there when Williams went out. I think they're going to fade Gordon a little bit more. It is a good matchup this week at home against the Colts. Shaquille Leonard has a concussion, so he's out. And that Colts run defense has really struggled of late here. They really allowed Derrick Henry to get loose. So if I was going to go with one play out of that backfield, looking at a positive game script at home in a short week, I'd say it's going to be Boone. I think Murray is going to need some time. I mean, he's just overseas for a different team to adjust there. So I think you'll see plenty of Gordon here. I don't think they'll suddenly lean on Gordon when we saw hints of what they would do when Williams is out when he went down. So I think Boone is going to lead this backfield. I think it's going to be like a 60-40 situation, and maybe you'll see Murray cut into it a little bit there, maybe 60-35-5 or something this week. Murray could also be inactive this week. So we're not quite sure what Nathaniel Hackett is thinking because it's been hard to figure out all season long with Russell Wilson in this offense. So right now we're going to speculate, speculate based on the usage immediately after Williams' injury that Boone will be the guy, and Gordon has to get that ball security down or he's not going to see as much on the field. So Boone, I think, has the most upside here to in that Javonte Williams role. He also showed that he can catch passes there, so that could help in half and full point PPR there as a check down guy. But again, Russell Wilson's not a big check down quarterback here, but I like the game script quite a bit here. Boone is the lead back against the Colts, and that's what we should expect here in week number 5. All right, on the other side of things on Thursday Night Football, we're worried about Jonathan Taylor. The estimated practice had him missing it there on Monday with that ankle injury. It's not a serious injury, but I think it could be tough enough to get him on the field. You don't want to risk more injury if you're the Colts. I mean, he's your best player at this point. I get it. They're desperate for a win here in Denver, and it's a winnable game from their estimation, but I think you also have to be smart with Jonathan Taylor. He's a long-term guy for you. Your issues with your quarterback there that you got to go get a franchise guy next year. So don't risk Jonathan Taylor getting hurt and getting something serious that's going to put him in a setback situation for longer than just 1 week, where if you rest him for this game, from the Colts' perspective, you get a mini-bye there to rest him up really well, and he can come back stronger. And maybe that's been a bit of an issue. Played through the toe injury, then rolled up his ankle there against the Titans. So Nyheim Hines would be the best plug and play here because they do have Deion Jackson. He's an interesting player out of Duke. But don't forget, they also have Philip Lindsay on the practice squad, and they've said they're going to elevate him this week. I think that happens regardless. If Lindsay is elevated, for sure, you'd feel that Taylor's going to miss game. It's a revenge game for Philip Lindsay. He got cast off by the Broncos. He got really upset when they got Melvin Gordon, and they kind of pushed him aside. He ended up with the Texans and Dolphins and then comes full circle to the Colts practice squad here. We know slight of build, but he did have 2,000-yard rushing seasons for the Broncos. So that's a little bit of a side plot here should Lindsay be active for this game. So I'm going to guess it's going to be Hines, a little bit of Jackson, a little bit of Lindsay. They also like Devontae Price, but I think Lindsay is going to be elevated from the practice squad over that rookie. So look at that for sure. So Hines is your best bet. It looks like a negative game script here. A lot of checkdowns. Hines didn't get a lot of work last week, surprisingly, in another big deficit there against the Titans. So I don't know. I'm going to proceed with caution with this backfield. I don't have a lot of expectations. I know Josh Jacobs just gashed this Broncos run defense, but Hines is a different type of runner. He's been basically the dedicated receiver here. So it could be a messy committee of power back situations and Hines being used as a receiver. So if you've got a back in one league, I've got Jeff Wilson Jr. I'm going to play Wilson over him. I might even play this next player over Hines have Taylor on my team. Without Hines, I would go for, again, someone like Jeff Wilson or Damian Pierce or this guy here in my lineups. It's Tyler Allgeier. I know Caleb Huntley got some key touches there. Cordarrelle Patterson going to miss 4 weeks. He went on IR with a knee injury here. So Allgeier is still the back they like the most here. I know Caleb Huntley got work, but keep in mind, Allgeier was getting work when Patterson was healthy. So Allgeier slides up to me to that top back status. It's a very tough matchup this week against the Buccaneers, but he should get the volume here. He's also a good pass catcher, as we saw there, so he could be involved there. They're not going to have the positive game script and then roll over the Buccaneers there like they did the Browns with 202 rushing yards. So that's not going to happen. Those are not going to be available against Tampa in Tampa. But Allgeier, they like him. This is an opportunity to get him loose here as a lead back. So the touches and volume, I think, are going to side with Allgeier, where it's a little bit cloudier with Boone and Hines, exactly how they'll break down. I think, again, Huntley is as big of a threat as, you say, Gordon, and you're looking at Murray potentially, and then looking at Hines with Jackson and Lindsay. I think those backfields could be a little bit more piecemealed. Well, I think it could be a lot of Allgeier and Huntley there, but Allgeier has been the guy. I mean, they liked him there enough to draft him and put him high in the depth chart. We'll also watch for Damian Williams returning. If that happens, then that's a mess as well. And I'm going to fade any of the Falcons this week in that tough Buccaneers matchup. Another backfield we're trying to sort through is the Washington Commanders. All of a sudden, Jonathan Williams got some key touches there in Dallas last week. Only less than 50% of the snaps for Antonio Gibson. So they're fading Gibson pretty hard here. Brian Robinson Jr. should be back here pretty soon. There's the optimism that tough thing that happened to him before the season with the gunshot. Well, he's back on track to return. They loved Robinson. He was set to be the lead back here in the power situation. So that's something to watch. And Robinson is a good stash here and potentially taking over this backfield in the kind of the power lead role over Gibson sometime soon. Now, J.D. McKissic might have some value this week. They're playing the Titans, so this could be a sneaky high-scoring game where they need McKissic to catch passes out of the backfield. So I could see where McKissic and Gibson kind of split those, like change of pace touches all of a sudden, and Robinson is the guy. So we're going to definitely stash Robinson if possible in our leagues. All right, Rashad White, I know Leonard Fournette did not get hurt, and he actually scored a touchdown late there to kind of salvage his value. They didn't run at all. They got behind big, the Buccaneers did, in that matchup against Kansas City, and you just saw passing, passing, passing. But we know Fournette is a big part of the passing game. Rashad White had some juice in the passing game. He also scored a touchdown there, got a rushing attempt inside the five. So that was good news. So White is definitely a plus handcuff. There was no one else here. Giovanni Bernard has been hurt. Keyshawn Vaughn nowhere to be found. So really, it's all about Rashad White, the rookie from Arizona State. He looked good. He looked interchangeable there with Fournette, only with a little bit more juice. Fournette is the big dude, the power dude, where I think you saw Rashad White have a little bit of that burst there out of the backfield. And it's good that the Buccaneers are trusting him in those passing situations to protect and catch passes from Tom Brady. So Rashad White at worst should be picked up as a handcuff. I think he might have some standalone value this week in that matchup against the Falcons, much more favorable for the Bucs running game to get going with a positive game script than the Falcons this week with Algier Huntley and maybe Damian Williams also in the mix. All right. Kenneth Gainwell still can be picked up in a lot of leagues. He's getting enough work behind Miles Sanders to think he would be the guy. Boston Scott remembers on the shelf here. So Gainwell, something to watch. He's now the clear number two there. Sanders could break down at any time or disappoint or have some issues there. They're playing the Cardinals this week, so can't plug and play Gainwell right now. But if you're a Sanders manager, you definitely have to have him as a backup. Jalen Warren, we'll see if Najee Harris needs to maybe rest a little bit. But Jalen Warren has a lot of burst here. I think Harris will get going at some point. I don't love the matchup this week against the Bills, but Warren, again, if you got Harris, you got to back him up. You look at Craig Reynolds. We'll see if DeAndre Swift misses more time here this week. They're expected to have him back against the Patriots. If not, Reynolds is kind of your cheap handcuff. If you don't have Jamal Williams on your team, you can go there to get a piece of that in some flex action. We saw in the Cardinals backfield, Eno Benjamin get a little bit more work. So not a bad stash there behind James Conner if the struggles continue there. And you're looking at Jerick McKinnon here as well. Potentially, I know Isaiah Pacheco probably picked up in a lot of leagues based on how he's performed for the Chiefs. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is having a banging season, but McKinnon could have a big role should something happen to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So, at worst, he's a backup to CEH on your teams. So, there's a look at the running backs on your waiver wire here for week five that you should be targeting, depending on what you need. If you need immediate help, I'd definitely look to the backfields of the Dolphins, Broncos, Colts, Commanders, and Falcons this week. There's going to be diversity with those backfields, so take advantage of that. Attrition is here at running back. Surprise, surprise. All right, we'll get into our wide receivers, including one guy I'm really excited about that finally broke out last week. We'll do that along with tight ends in our next segment. Our next partner is a product I literally use every day. I started taking AG1 because I wanted all the health benefits. I didn't have the time in the morning to do all that. I wanted my gut health to become better. I wanted more energy, optimized immune system. I've been trying to take pills and vitamins, but I wanted a supplement that actually tastes great and wanted to see what the hype was about with AG1. Well, now I can't imagine a morning without it. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all the things we need. It's just easy to scoop in the morning, and you're good to go there before breakfast. It's fantastic, and it's also a lifestyle-friendly product here, AG1. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, no artificial anything, while always still tasting good. It supports better sleep quality and recovery, mental clarity and alertness. It's the one thing of the best things. Athletic Greens uses the best of the best products based on latest science with constant product iterations and third parties. Testing, it costs you also less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. It's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. You're investing in yourself in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop of AG1 in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and vitamins and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. That is athleticgreens.com/NFL Network to take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. All right, it is time to continue the show here in a moment. We'll do that here with our wide receivers and tight ends to target on the waiver wire. Thanks again for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Make sure you check out NFL Key Predictions every Friday on Locked On NFL. Locked On's local experts give you the inside scoop on the five biggest games of the NFL weekend, including Sunday and Monday Night Football, plus betting advice from the field's leading experts. Bet online. Follow NFL Key Predictions every Friday on Locked On NFL, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. All right, it is time to look at the wide receivers. There's one name that were circled, and the guy that you must go after, it's George Pickens. Now, some may have given up on him after it was slow with Mitchell Trubisky. Then he had that great catch there in week three against the Browns. There, the Odell Beckham Jr.-like catch. They're diving, and said, okay, maybe this kid is being unlocked a little bit more. Then we saw the rookie potential breakout. Once his fellow rookie quarterback, Kenny Pickett, took over from Mitchell Trubisky in that game against the Jets. They lost the game against the Jets, but Pickens looked great. He was peppered with targets away from Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool. He went over 100 yards receiving. They talked about this kid throughout training camp preseason as one of the best Steelers they've ever seen in that part of the year, and he's now living up to it because he needed someone to get him the ball. We know Pickett and Pickens have good chemistry, rookie versus rookie, so love that a lot. So George Pickens, I think, elevates already to wide receiver two status. They need to fade Chase Claypool a little bit to feel a little bit more comfortable with that, but Deontay Johnson hasn't got the job done yet. We'll see if the rookie favors the other rookie in Pickens. So I could easily see a scenario where Pickens actually emerges as the Steelers' top receiver this year, and Deontay Johnson is more of that complement, while Chase Claypool fades into a big slot when they spread the field. So something to watch there, but love George Pickens. He should be managed in all size leagues here, including the 10-teamers. Yeah, he should be on roster. So if he's not on a team, you have to go get him on your team as much as possible. So invest some high fab in him with your budget, or if you've got the high waiver claim, I would prioritize him. If you're okay at running back there and you're not desperate with one of those injuries, go for George Pickens first. All right, Michael Gallup is back for the Cowboys. He got in the end zone, so good sign for him doing that with Cooper Rush. So they actually had a couple touchdowns last week. You had Gallup, you had CeeDee Lamb. So this passing game is starting to heat up with Cooper Rush. It's going to get better. We know with Dak Prescott back and be able to throw it downfield, we know Prescott can push the ball well to Gallup. Gallup looks legitimately dangerous. That kind of fades Noah Brown a little bit, but keep in mind Dalton Schultz is still banged up. They need some consistency without Amari Cooper, so they trust Gallup quite a bit. He looked good. So Gallup definitely is a priority pickup at wide receiver as well. Devontae Parker and Nelson Agholor have taken turns here with the Patriots, and they're not bad there if you're a little bit desperate. Agholor did lead the team in receiving against the Packers this past week. Devontae Parker had a touchdown, but if Jacoby Myers returns, I think he'll be the key guy there. They love Myers. They want to work him in the middle of the field here. He's a slot guy. So, again, for volume, I think you look at Jacoby Myers now that Kendrick Bourne's out of the equation. Parker's a little bit touchdown dependent. That big game a couple weeks ago was an anomaly. And, again, Nelson Agholor has limited usage here. So Jacoby Myers returns, I think he can have a key role. Now, we'll watch Isaiah McKenzie. Jamison Crowder is down for a while with that fracture there in his ankle. So Isaiah McKenzie is locked in now as the number three unquestioned slot receiver on this team. We also have Gabe Davis struggling with his own ankle injury there. on the outside. So McKenzie might need a little bit more. We'll see if he gets cleared from the concussion to play against the Steelers. Steelers is not the easiest matchup with Minkah Fitzpatrick in the slot. But again, McKenzie's role has got to get bigger if Davis is not being used as much and Crowder is down here and they don't throw as much to the backs. So McKenzie and Dawson Knox over the middle, the shorter passes as teams defend Josh Allen kind of downfield, taking away that ball. That's going to help. Now, we wondered when Zach Wilson returned who he favored a little bit more. Well, it was not Elijah Moore as much as we wanted. There was a little bit of Garrett Wilson, but there was a lot of Corey Davis. So it makes sense. We didn't have a lot of playing time with Wilson and Moore last year because Wilson seemed to be hurt when Moore was healthy and vice versa. So that was playing out. And obviously Wilson and the other Wilson are just getting used to each other, missed some time there with the knee injury. Zach Wilson did. So he's trying to figure out Garrett Wilson here. So when you see all that, and then it's Corey Davis, the veteran, is still producing here. This week, the matchup against the Bills, a little tricky for sure. I know they've got some injuries there, but they really contained Rashad Bateman and that Ravens passing game last week. So something to keep in mind there. Corey Davis, I mean, not a high upside addition, but for now, while that Wilson-Moore and Wilson-Wilson connection start to heat up, they need a little bit of veteran presence, and Davis is that guy. Now, Zay Jones did miss week four against the Eagles for the Jaguars, but he should be back this week, hopefully, to take on the Texans. That matchup against Derek Stingley Jr., that pretty weak secondary there for Houston. So on the outside, Zay Jones can do some damage to complement Christian Kirk back home in Jacksonville this week. Now, we saw the injuries to DJ Chark and Amon-Ra St. Brown. St. Brown should be back from his ankle injury this week. But Chark, a little bit troubling because they ruled him out late in the week after it looked like he had a chance to play. So I know Josh Reynolds has looked pretty good, and St. Brown has had a big start. But Jameson Williams is looming on the horizon here as being a key target. That's going to make the Lions team a little bit more dangerous. And Jameson Williams just was a plus talent there at Alabama. So first-round guys with wide receiver have done well. We've seen the second-round guy that should have gone the first round, Pickens, they're also lighted up. So don't be surprised about Jameson Williams. They're having a big role soon when he comes back. Now, Jarvis Landry, we can look at it. We'll see the Michael Thomas foot injury. If that keeps him out, Landry could have a little bit more run, especially if Andy Dalton in there back this week. So something to look at there in week number five. We'll see that play out. It's a decent matchup this week against the Seahawks as well. So definitely a place for Landry could eat up with some volume here. So we'll watch Michael Thomas' injury. Again, if it's Andy Dalton, we feel a little bit better because he's going to throw the shorter pass to Landry. Now, Rondell Moore should be on the way back. This probably ends the Greg Dortch production here. We also have DeAndre Hopkins coming back soon. So only one more week of no more Hopkins here beyond week five. So keep that in mind. With Rondell Moore, they like him. They put him in the Dortch role before he got hurt. So something to watch there. You could also continue to speculate on the Chiefs passing game with either Marquez Valdes-Scantling or Sky Moore. No established go-to guy yet for Patrick Mahomes other than Travis Kelce. I still think it's going to be wide receiver by committee. I don't think Mahomes is lying about that. So don't feel great about starting any wide receiver, but at some point I think they're going to unlock more as being their Tyreek Hill light here in week, or this season. I don't think it'll happen this week, but by week 8 or 9, I think you'll see Sky Moore establish himself as a bigger part of the Chiefs offense. Now, at tight end, we recommended some guys last week. We had Cameron Brate, almost had a touchdown, got banged up in the game against the Falcons, so we can't go there. Robert Tonyan, however, did come through with a touchdown there. We said it was going to happen pretty soon, that Aaron Rodgers was trusting him with kind of high-leverage snaps here. It happened here against the Patriots. So Robert Tonyan back in that trust circle there with Alan Lazard and the rookie Romeo Doubs. So really like Tonyan, again, touchdown dependent, but who isn't their tight end beyond the elite guys? Hayden Hurst also in that category, but he came through with a play-action touchdown there against the Dolphins. So the Ravens have been very giving to the tight end, so Hayden Hurst might have some streaming value this week. Hunter Henry, notable that Jonnu Smith is hurting there for the Patriots, so Hunter Henry could get a little bit more run with Bailey Zappe, Brian Hoyer, or Mac Jones. Great matchup this week at home against the Lions. You have Irv Smith, there. The Vikings face the Bears this week. They should get Irv Smith a little bit more run. It's been a little bit hit or miss with the third option behind Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, but Irv Smith should be a little bit more involved here for Kevin O'Connell and Kirk Cousins. Taysom Hill did find the end zone last week for the Saints, filling in a little bit for Alvin Kamara, so we'll see if Kamara misses more time. We know Murray's gone there. Ingram hasn't looked all that great, so Taysom might see a little bit more work here as a tight end, running back, quarterback hybrid for the Saints in this another great matchup against the Seahawks. It would not surprise me if the Saints want to go full Taysom Hill here and showcase him in this game with his speed against the Seahawks team that just totally got destroyed by the Lions last week. And Evan Ingram, it hasn't been all that pretty there for him. He's had some opportunities for the Jaguars. There's some competition at tight end with Dan Arnold. And the receivers, Zay Jones, should return to help Christian Kirk this week along with Marvin Jones. So be wary about going for Evan Ingram, but something that you can consider there in deeper leagues, at least as a backup tight end for you as the bye weeks are just around the corner. All right, there's a look at the wide receivers and tight ends. Bang the table for George Pickens, and if you can't get him, definitely go after Michael Gallup this week for help at that position. We will close the show looking at quarterbacks and streaming defenses that you can consider for some short-term help and a little bit of long-term outlook there. So we'll get into that there in our final segment here. It's an exciting time of the year, and BetOnline is the right place to be a part of here for all your betting needs. NFL almost getting to the halfway point, believe it or not. We have baseball playoffs just around the corner. BetOnline.net is your number one source for football betting information of the season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis in every game you can find. As always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sport wagering information with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. The fastest and easy way to check in all your favorite games and events, including NFL, MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to BetOnline.net or use the mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, it is time to close the show here and look at our quarterbacks and streaming defenses. Jared Goff, Geno Smith. We'll start there. That matchup, it was a Spider-Man meme, two guys going off. Jared Goff, Geno Smith, the top two scoring fantasy quarterbacks. Goff did it through the air. Smith did it through the air and the ground with some good rushing there against the Lions. So really just follow wherever the Lions and Seahawks are for some production, as well as the Commanders. Those are the three teams that you want to target with your quarterbacks as much as possible here. So let's look at Jared Goff again. Plays the Patriots this week, gets a little bit tougher, but he's got the keys to a very loaded Lions offense. He made it work even without Amon-Ra St. Brown and DJ Chark. He just pivoted TJ Hockenson, Josh Reynolds. He should get Swift back, St. Brown back. We'll see about Chark. We totally about Jameson Williams. So I do like Jared Goff. I don't know if I would play him this week on the road in New England against a Bill Belichick defense. Geno Smith, maybe if you need him against the Saints. I don't think the matchup is nearly as good here this week on the road. So I'd be wary with him, but I think Goff and Smith should at least be owned as platoon backups, if not just straight up backups, if you've got them having a right matchup during your particular quarterback's regular guy that you put in your lineup, his bye week. Definitely look at Goff and Smith. Now, we'll see if it's Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton in there against the Seahawks opposite Smith this week, but whoever's in there, I want them in there. It's a good matchup here and a good series of matchups coming up for the Saints there outside their division. So I want the guy with the keys to that offense. A little bit more appealing if Michael Thomas returns there to add another weapon, but they already have Chris Olave, Jarvis Landry, Marcus Callaway. There's plenty to throw to there, and the game scripts could be maybe more negative than we think, as the Saints defense hasn't been up to the same snuff that it usually is under Dennis Allen. All right, Ryan Tannehill, he's started to play better, folks, and he gets a really nice matchup against the Commanders. Same thing, Carson Wentz on the other side against the Titans this week, so good matchup there for some sneaky volume. So that could be your Goff-Smith matchup of the week, Tannehill and Wentz. So would not surprise me at all if that happened. Again, Tannehill and the Titans still a running team at heart. They might slow the game down a little bit in that sense, but the Commanders and Titans cannot cover the pass on the back end. If anything, I would say Wentz would struggle a little bit more, but Tannehill in a good spot. It is on the road, so keep that in mind. That's going to help Wentz at home for sure in that matchup. Now, Teddy Bridgewater, I don't think there's a huge drop-off between the way he played and what Tua Tagovailoa showed there. He had that one big game Tua did against the Ravens in Week 2 in the big comeback. But Bridgewater still has Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Mike Gesicki at times and some of their other weapons, Chase Edmonds throwing to him in the red zone. So same type of weapons here for Bridgewater. Good matchup against the Jets this week, one of his former teams. Another one of his former teams, the Vikings, on tap for a home date in Miami next week. So again, anything with Hill and Waddle, kind of like the 49ers offense, it's a good system. There's going to be some value. Speaking of the 49ers system, how about Zach Wilson? He gets a receiving touchdown, another passing score there for Wilson. So he looked pretty good in that 49ers-like system. So sometimes it's about the systems. We've seen it with Bridgewater for a flash there in the second half against the Bengals. We've seen it with Jimmy Garoppolo in the past. And Zach Wilson's in the same system. Joe Flacco is starting for volume and some production there. I think that can happen here as well with Wilson. So Wilson looked pretty good. I thought he was in control of the offense there pretty well. And it's the Dolphins this week, and they are giving up the number one total to fantasy football quarterbacks this season. So something to keep in mind. They were just lit up the past few weeks by Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. I get that's part of it. But Zach Wilson looking good, feeling it here a little bit more with his running, receiving, and quarterbacking here. So again, that system can really help, and we can see the value there with Bridgewater Wilson. I wouldn't necessarily roll out Wilson with confidence this week, but it's not a crazy play there given the way the Dolphins play. And the Steelers were a blitz-happy team. He handled them pretty okay last week, so the Dolphins might present some of those same opportunities in one-on-one coverage. Now, speaking of the Steelers, Kenny Pickett, something we want to look at here, stash, but it's a tough schedule coming up. They do have the Bills and Buccaneers and Eagles, so some really tough matchups there for Pickett. But I think when the matchups get better, he's going to unlock some of these receivers and have some standalone value. But definitely Pickett upgrades Pickens. I think it upgrades really everyone. Maybe a downgrade for Pat Freiermuth as Pickens gets pushed up here. But yeah, I think Pickett is going to be an aggressive guy. He's not going to be just that check down guy to Harris and Freiermuth as much as we think. So I think Harris and anyone would have a little bit more value there. So Harris and Pickens can kind of Freiermuth, especially if they move Claypool into a key big slot role. And Justin Fields, it doesn't look pretty, but there were some signs there that the passing game might wake up in Chicago and be trusted a little bit more. And maybe the David Montgomery injury prompted that a little bit. And the matchup against the Giants, it's a decent matchup against the Vikings. It's in a contained environment, so none of that slop from week one and some weather elements there. So Justin Fields also had the deal with the Giants last week. All right, let's go to the other last position here. It is the streaming defenses. The Jaguars should be managed in every league at this point. I mean, they shouldn't be out there on any waiver wire. If they are, maybe in a shallow league, go after them. They play the Texans at home this week. Dolphins, not bad. I did say that Zach Wilson could do some damage against their blitz, but the Dolphins do get a pretty good matchup against that offense, and Wilson is still mistake-prone, as we know that. So there's that. The Vikings get a matchup with Fields at home. So Fields, again, could get going, but again, the Vikings should have some success getting some sacks there on that weak offensive line, better run-blocking offensive line, much better for the Bears. That's really its strength. Well, pass protection is a 180 in weakness. You can look at the Titans against the struggling Carson Wentz there, even though it's on the road there against the Commanders. The Patriots are a sneaky play this week. Why? Because, again, Bill Belichick, he knows he's going to pull out some stops here for Jared Goff. They did have a pick six against Aaron Rodgers last week. So they're scheming well. They're getting some better plays from their younger defensive backs here. So that's good to see for the Patriots. And again, Bill Belichick always figures it out defensively there eventually once he knows the players. Now the Chiefs are a sneaky play this week. It's primetime. They had a big primetime game with a pick six against Justin Herbert at home in week two on Thursday night. So they play on Monday night this week. So there's a potential there for the Chiefs to take care of the Raiders, a high-volume passing game likely opposite Patrick Mahomes. And the Bengals are actually a very high-scoring fantasy defense. Lamar Jackson is a bit up and down. The Ravens defense gave him a little bit, or the Bengals defense gave him a little bit of trouble last year. So keep that in mind. He did struggle a little bit against the Bills defense. So Bengals are actually making a lot of plays here. Trey Hendrickson and Jesse Bates and Von Bell. They have a lot of playmakers on that team. That's what you're looking for in a fantasy defense. Sacks, takeaways, are they going to be a source of that? And I think the Bengals have some of those. I wouldn't feel great about playing them, but if you got stuck and some of these other teams weren't available, you could definitely look at them. Because, again, they're making plays, and that's the most important thing when looking at a defense in fantasy football. All right, there you have it. There's a breakdown there of the waiver wire for week five. We went through running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, quarterbacks, and your streaming defenses. So good luck in going after these players. Hopefully that gave you a way to target these players as you need them, whether you're looking for some immediate lineup help or a stash for your bench. There's a lot out there in week five. So good luck on all those waiver claims there. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Don't forget, we're doing a different matchup Wednesday show now. We're going to break down the quarterbacks and running backs. Yeah, already turning the page to week five. So we'll break down the best and worst matchups at those positions tomorrow. Then we'll come back looking at wide receivers, tight ends, and defenses there on Thursday, matchup Thursday. So double shot of matchups with our positional ranking start sit advice there to check out here on Locked On Fantasy Football. Now make your second listen to the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson give you the expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great day. Good luck in all your waiver claims, and we'll see you as we turn the page to week five tomorrow in the matchups.